page in the Sunday edition.
Yeah, I'll put it up.
So we want to get. Particular point a couple of years into this walk with the disciples, just before the Mount of Transfiguration, which is the penultimate event that has ever taken place. When Christ fulfilled all the law, he fulfilled all natural, all physical, all law, and time and space lost its hold on him. In an instant of time, he was transfigured, and he spoke with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they spake only of his death, which was to come in Jerusalem. That's an amazing thing. Every time you see the word glory in the scriptures, it applies to that state of being glorified. Glorified meaning that, you know, all these idiots that run around say, oh, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you the glory, Father. We just give you, that's not, first of all, you can't give him anything. And second of all, no, don't sit there. No, sit either back there where I need to see everybody. But there were two events that led up to the transfiguration. One is Peter's confession. In verse 27 it says, Jesus went out and his disciples went to the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man. And the other version of it is more Matthew and Luke, it's more complete. It says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. flesh and blood has not revealed the Son to you. And then he began to teach in verse 31, teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Now, how often in your day-to-day activity would Christ say to you, Get thee behind me, Satan, for you savorest the things that be of men and not of God? If you think about it, pretty often. And then he said this thing that sets, this is the beginning, the end, the middle, what he said next. He said, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he saith unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will. The will is the word, it means to desire, to wish. And this is the place, because this is the crossover of your life. You cannot come after him as long as you're coming after yourself. You cannot serve him if you're serving you in any way. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Remember, we've studied it 1,000 times. Deny is aparneomai. It means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. The word is in the ingressive aortist. It means you enter a new state or condition once and for all time. You abandon yourself. Never again to pick it up. If you're not interested in abandoning yourself, you're in the wrong place. If you're interested in improving yourself or getting yourself in any kind of betterment, if you're even interested in improving your spiritual state, you're in the wrong place. This is not a place to gain anything. This is a place to die. This is a place where you abandon yourself, you lose sight of yourself, you lay down your life once and for all time, never again to pick up your own life. Now, some of you have laid down pieces of yourself 10,000 times over the years. At the moment some test occurs, you pick yourself back up. The moment a thought occurs, you believe the thought. If any man wills to come after me, let him abandon himself. Once and for all time. Leave yourself behind. Take no thought of or about or for yourself in any dimension, not even to the state of whether or not you're understanding what I'm saying. You abandon yourself completely. That's what you were born for. You were created in the image and likeness of God. The image, remember we've said 1,000 times, it's the word that means a glove. A glove is in the image of a hand. You were created in the image, or selam, of God, which means that you were created to contain the living God. And in the likeness, Christ. So we end up with Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, I don't care whether we study Pentecost or Tabernacles or Passover or Tammuz or any of the feasts or any of the words of this scripture, they point to this one place. Abandon yourself. Abandon yourself. Don't you understand? You can't abandon yourself and be concerned with yourself in any dimension. You can't be concerned with whether you understand. You can't be concerned with whether you think, what you think, what you feel like. You can't be concerned about any aspect of your life, whether you have food, whether you don't have food. You can't be concerned about whether you have your family has food or you don't. You abandon yourself. No. Abandon yourself means you must abandon everything about you. And we as a body must abandon this group. We must abandon. We must take no thought of or about ourselves in any dimension. Does anybody have any response? I mean, this is the first thing, the first principle, the first. Are you ready to finally abandon yourself? To take that leap of faith? Have you found out all other ways are meaningless? Hagar says you earn money to put in a bag full of holes. And the little you get, God blows on it. You've heard that and you've heard it over and over and over. And yet, 5 minutes after you leave here, you're back being concerned with yourself. Some dimension. Why? Is something lacking in the way I describe it? Is there something, you know, if you're not interested in abandoning yourself, you shouldn't be here. You're a fool. If you're trying to better yourself, leave. Up his cross. This cross is the word staros. It means the stake. It means the tree. There's only one cross. It's your death. Can you sense the finality of this? Tricks on you and you start thinking about this or that or judging others. Every time you look around and think that there's something wrong, every time you look and think the condition that you are in, it should be different than it is, he would look you in the eye and say, get thee behind me, Satan. For he savors the things that be of men and not of God. Abandon yourself. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Those two are commands. Abandon yourself and pick up the cross. The follow me is the automatic of the abandonment and the picking up of the cross. You understand? Can you feel it? You were created to fail. You've got to hear this. You were created to fail as a human being. You were created, no matter how what your talents are, what they aren't, or how smart or how dumb, you were created to fail. You must know by now, I mean, everything about you. some of you were created to fail to such an extent that you automatically sabotage yourselves at every juncture. Some of you know a lot about that, don't we, Ronnie? Okay, so I know what's the matter. I need the Holy Spirit. No. I know what's the matter. I need to be delivered from this habit. No.
You abandoned yourself.
Oh, I know. We need more money. No.
We need to abandon ourselves.
I know. I need to be fixed because I'm in dire pain. No, I need to abandon myself. Therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, better translated is the word for double, thine eye be double, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is be darkness, how great is that darkness? What the hell does that mean? If thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light, but if thine eye is double, and your body is full of darkness, and even the things that you think are light within you are darkness. Same thing, abandon yourself. If you look and you see you in anything, then your eye is double. If your eye is single, no matter where you look, you see the finishedness of Christ. You see the mystery of the sea. You see everything finished. You even, as Christ said, they had just planted the wheat harvest. There was yet 4 months until the harvest. And he said, say not yet that there are 4 months. All they had was the plowed ground, and the seed, they couldn't see anything. Say, not yet, there are 4 months until the harvest. But look out and see that the field is white on the harvest. There's no such thing as planting the seed. The seed's already been planted. You anything you don't already know. All I can do is be a witness for that which you already know. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now what is mammon? Mammon is money. No, it's not. Mammon is a Chaldean word, and it means anything that you have confidence in. Now, what do you have confidence in? Cannot, obviously, no matter how screwed up you are, no matter how messed up you've been, you still, the thing that you primarily have confidence in is yourself. It's better translated, you cannot serve God and you. Can you understand that? Now, all of your life, the only purpose of everything that's happened to you in your entire life is to get you to the point where you understand that. Question is, can you agree with it today? Can you understand that everything out there, all the best that everything can be, is empty and fruitless and meaningless? All the best plans and ideas and ambitions that you have, all of these great images and I won't pick on Harry today because he's not here. But everything that you think about to do or not to do, it's all empty and vain and fruitless. You understand that? And when you understand that you are empty and vain and fruitless, then you'll understand that you cannot serve God in mammon. All right, let's go on. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Yeah, abandon yourself. Take no thought for your life. I love the new translation. Don't be worried about yourself. No, it doesn't say that. It says take no thought for your life. What do you do then? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, or ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the verb there? It's the word zeteo. I think it's the word where we got the word zeal from. But anyway, it's to desire, to question after, to be consumed with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's just the same way of saying the full commandment is completed. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What's the verb there? Love. What is that love? What does it mean to love? It means to give breath to, or give importance to. Now, the reason for this system is that I mean, you spend your whole life giving breath to or loving a million things. Right? Really, the thing you most love are your ideas. Those are your most favorite lover. Tell me, under which green tree have you not committed adultery? That's what you do in your mind. It's amazing to me that there's probably over a million acres of trees are being burned in Arizona. Because the green tree is the symbol of your ideas. Fruitless, stupid ideas. Every idea that man can have from the beginning of time is an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. It doesn't matter how good or bad the idea is. But every one of those ideas is one of those green trees, and you've got forest in your mind that need to be consumed with the fire that's burning the trees up in Colorado and Arizona. It's already burned. It's already been. I mean, if you had any intellectual integrity, you would know that your ideas are idiotic and stupid, but it's like sexual fantasies. You take them to some point and have a climax, but you don't see the fruit of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I've got this great idea. Well, the end of the idea is bullshit. But you stop it at some idyllic point, and that's the green tree that you're worshiping under. You don't let the fire of the Spirit burn the forest down. So then you wonder, then as long as there's a green tree up there, you're going to go there for refuge. You love it. You're up to the mountain. And you look and says, aha, there's a green tree left over there. There's another one growing over there. Because your mind tells you the green tree is the tree of life. The Spirit is telling you the tree of life is the cross. But as long as there's something up there that you think will give you life, when you go up to the mountain in your mind, what I'm telling you will be, you'll forget it in an instant. Power of the green tree. So you won't seek him first. You will seek whatever is hidden in that green tree first. And it may be 2,500 different things each day. Oh, but I'm putting the name of God on it. Then you're in real trouble. Am I communicating? Anything to hang on to. Theology comes from Jiminy Cricket. Huh? I'm just saying. Jiminy Cricket said the same thing. Abandon yourself. See that every one of those green trees in your mind have already been burned. When you look at the news tonight, watch the fire. It's already happened. But your mind is lying to you. Your mind says, oh no, those are green trees with good fruit on them. Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all needful things will be added unto you with no effort on your part. Abandon yourself. You can't abandon yourself as long as you've got those secret little green trees up there. Right?
out. Hey, that wasn't right.
Anybody have any response?
I got one real quick. I just came out with it. You know that 633 to see you first the kingdom of God. That verse, I can't tell you how many times I was thinking about it. I couldn't help it. My ex-father-in-law. He's always, he was talking about that verse. And nothing discredits him or anything, but one of the things is that you hear that verse so many times, you know, if you ever went to church or anything, you know, like one of the primary verses, but they don't tell you how to, you know, it's by abandoning yourself and taking no thought. They don't spend hardly any time on that. It's just fascinating. You know, they just say, just seek first this kingdom of God.
The rest of it around here.
Work hard. Yeah, work harder and
it'll pay off.
Exactly.
Yeah. To me, that verse is for having to seek first to be God and to be right.
Yeah.
Tells me a lot about it. We're in front of your honesty. All righty, anybody else?
One other thing, my page opens to this Bible where it shows this old building of a temple or something like that. I got to thinking, the same thing was said, exactly the same 2,000 years ago. These words have not changed. These people were just like us. They wore plain clothes, robes, and boots out there. But I mean, this stuff goes to the essence of man.
Interesting, heard. We have our language is so evil because our language provides too many verb tenses, too many adjectives. States of being. It makes it our language. I'm convinced the English language is the most difficult language ever invented to understand spirit. And that's what we've been given. But I think it's because it's this test. It has to be that the verb tenses and the adjectives give the subtlety. The text is now much more subtle than deny him or I'll cut your arm off. Now the test is